I thank the Lord for this good day that He has made and this opportunity that we have to gather ourselves in a place that has been set aside for worship to Him. I'm thankful for each one that's here, whether you're saved or lost. If you're saved, I ask a continued interest in your prayer that God might help me as I would speak. I came this morning with two different places marked in my Bible, kind of torn between two places, and I got settled on that until a remark was made in Sunday school. And so I'm going to go to a place to which I'm not reviewed and prepared, but one that I think that probably I need to go to. So pray for me. My mind doesn't recall like it once did, so I pray that God will help me to remember some of the things of this. I also hesitate to some degree to use this because it's a very familiar scripture, and undoubtedly you have heard it entertained by ministers many times, many of which are more capable than I shall ever hope to be. But we're not in it for that purpose. We're in it for the purpose of trying to convey God's word to the hearts and souls and minds of men. And we pray that He would help us in that endeavor. We know that we don't deserve to be saved, and we certainly don't merit the opportunity to speak about Jesus. But we would like to do that today if He would be our helper. Scripture lesson, and I invite you to read with me if you'd like, is in the book of Luke, 19th chapter, reading as a lesson the first 10 verses. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Jesus stood and said unto the Lord, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That reading the first 10 verses of the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. Zacchaeus, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. My title today would be A Calling God. A Calling God. When I was a boy, a lot of my classmates be talking on Monday morning, and they'd say, on Saturday night, my mom said she thought I was about old enough that I ought to go up front and confess and get baptized. That didn't happen at our house. It was not my mother that called, or my dad. In fact, when I would talk to my mother, she'd say, I'd ask her about salvation. I'd been around church and seen people saved, and ask her when I was to be saved, and she said, you'll know. And I knew. You see, this is in the realm and the business of God. Amen. And it is a personal experience that we seek, one that is between ourselves and God Himself. Amen. God, thankfully, is a calling God. Amen. It's quite miraculous that Jesus was in this place this day. And I think it is a marvel that we are here today in this particular circumstance. If you're lost, if we're saved, I pray that God would help us to seize this opportunity. And that as He calls, that we would answer that call in whatever dimension that that might be. Jesus was on the way to the Passover to be crucified. It would have been much easier for him to go through Samaria from where he was to get to Jerusalem. But he could not because of some history that we won't get into. He would have been unclean for the Passover. So he went all the way to the Jordan Valley. And he was entering into the city of Jericho. Now, in the last part of the Lord's ministry, he had become well known. And when he entered into a city, people were stirred. Brethren, I believe that the church today, when she has the Lord with her, that people are still stirred. Amen. Now, everybody didn't flock there to get saved. Some sought to kill him. Some were just simply curious. And there were some that were sick. And they wanted to be healed. I think there were some that were convicted and they wanted to be forgiven of their sins. Amen. But the city was stirred. Our society, our world, I'd say your community needs to be stirred. We need a God, His presence among us. And I believe, I fully am persuaded that He will draw men today. Amen. Now, He was here in the flesh in this instance that we're going to try to talk about. He's not here in the flesh today, but He said, if I go away, I'll pray the Father, and He will send another comforter. And we read about the many things that He has done, and one thing that He does, He testifies of Jesus. Amen. He said He condemns the world. It was that Spirit in the name of Jesus that came into my heart when I was a boy and drew me to salvation. If He's in your heart today and He's beckoning you, I would that you might listen to this and take this as an example of how that we should deal with that calling God. Notice, first of all, it says when Jesus came to the place. How do you go to God? How do you get to heaven? I don't know how to get there. You see, I didn't have to because it was the Holy Spirit that was sent by the Savior that came to me. But when God comes to you, then that means that you need to deal with that. You need to respond to that. And you will face eternity as to what you do with that great invitation of God. That's what men are going to be condemned for, is rejecting that call. Is not believing. Read the Word of God. When the shepherd comes back, he's going to divide men in two groups. Those that are believers and those that are unbelievers. When Jesus came to the place, I'm thankful that Jesus still goes into the world. He's still moving, not in the person, not as a man, but as in the office of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus came to the place, He did a very gracious thing. Now, Zacchaeus was a publican, just not a publican. He was a chief publican. And people, Israelites, absolutely hated him. And probably with good reason. Because they had become agents of the oppressive Roman government. They collected taxes for the Roman government. Now, how could you convince a man to abuse his own brethren? That. They might charge you $100 taxes and you might be responsible for that and they'd charge you $200. They were rich. The chief publican's very rich, and we have here that Zacchaeus was a rich man. And probably some of that had been gotten by the way that the publicans received their money. He was hated. If there was somebody that you would show some latitude to, it would not be a publican. They were numbered with the grossest of sinners. Oftentimes we hear mentioned the harlots and the publicans. They were absolutely despised. But I'm thankful that Jesus came to save sinners. In fact, you can't get saved until you understand that you are a sinner. Jesus didn't come to save people that are self-righteous. He came to save people that were lost. I prayed for my children before they ever were born and tried to pray for them as they grew up that God would bless them when they became accountable to God with a plunging load of conviction that they might understand by the grace of God, their wretchedness in the sight of God. You prayed for your own children to hurt? Yes, I did. Because there is no salvation without repentance, a godly sorrow. There has to be a burden there. I pray that God would be with you, that He would be with your pastor, that He would be with whoever would be preaching here, that the word of the Lord would go out in strength and truth, and that it would serve to condemn sin.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that condemnation as I look back. I thought God was a little harsh with me when he was dealing with me. But I look back and I had to thank the Lord for the conviction that I felt. When Jesus came to the place, there was a wretched publican in a tree. The Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords looked up. He's always been the Son of God. But He chose to take upon Himself a form of no reputation, took upon our form, the form of a servant, suffered all things such as we, but to a greater extent. He suffered the shame of us all as He hung upon the cross. When He hung on the cross, He did not despise the agony that He was in. The Scriptures say He despised the shame of it all. Because he stood before God as a sinner, he who had no sin. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looked up at a wretched sinner. And said, God talks? Yeah, He talks. He sure does, praise the Lord. He was in flesh here and he spoke it. If you'd have been there, you could have heard it. But there's a still small voice within us that is the voice of God that speaks to us. Now you may deny it now, but one day you are going to be called to stand before this same King. And you'll not be able to deny that He didn't speak to you. I didn't hear anything here, but boy, I felt something down here. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords looked up at this wretched sinner and said, called his name. He said, Zacchaeus. This call that we're talking about is a personal call.
Amen.
God can save the whole world, but I guarantee you He'll serve them one at a time. He will save them personally. Zacchaeus. You know, God knew more about me than I knew myself. He didn't know my name. I didn't hear my name as such. I just knew that there was... You know, I grew up wealthy. I mean, I grew up in luxury because I'd been in the house of the Lord all of my life. I'd been to revivals. I'd seen people go to an altar and seen them come up and shout praises to God when they saved. Every week I heard people stand and testify of the goodness of God to them and about their salvation. I'd heard that wonderful gospel, but there came a time when it became personal. It was no longer for the guy that was sitting behind me, but God came to me personally. I tried to deny that to myself. I certainly, by my silence, denied it to other people for a considerable amount of time. I look back at that now and I shudder at the jeopardy that I placed myself in those weeks that I was lost. Because even though I was just 9 years old, if I had died in that condition, I would have gone right straight to hell because I was responsible in the eyes of God. He said, Zacchaeus, it is a personal call and it is always, I believe, a hastening call. He said, make haste. Make haste. God's convicting you today. He wants to save you today. You see, the Lord saves. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He initiates it. He does everything in it and He finishes it. I know that Scripture also means that before the foundation of the world that He established this and so on and so forth. But I think personally too. He initiated it with me. And then as I began to follow Him, He began to draw me to Him. You know, as the preacher married my wife, and he used to use a term. He said when he sought the Lord that he worked himself out of tools and timber. He did everything he knew how to do, as I did. And once I did there, then I understood. Not only was I lost, and not only was I wretched, but I couldn't do anything about it. Then I was ready to listen to God. Zacchaeus, make haste. Make haste, Zacchaeus. And I think this is a common thing too among everybody, among all of our call. Make haste and come down. This is always a humbling call. If you feel condemned now, when you start to go to God, you're going to go down lower. That is the way to God. God blesses us with the knowledge of understanding our true condition in His sight, because He came, as it says later here, to seek and to save that which is lost. Once you really understand from the depths of your soul that you are lost and a sinner, you're getting pretty close to salvation. Sometimes it takes us a while to get there. You know, I've said before, when I was a boy, I wasn't a perfect little boy by any means. But I generally tried to do what my parents asked me to do. And if you'd have rated boys in my mind, I would have been probably the 95th percentile or so. Saul of Tarsus said that he was a Pharisee's Pharisee. I think we'd have read about Saul of Tarsus if he hadn't gotten saved. It'd have been a lot different than we read about it in the Bible, because he did get saved, because things really got changed. But he thought he was pretty good. I think Saul of Tarsus was very sincere. I think he thought he was doing the will of the Lord. Got his mind changed. And before he got saved, according to his testimony, he said, I was the chiefest of sinners. Thieves on the two malefactors on the cross with Jesus. If you read it carefully, it says both railed, but one of them said to the other, he rebuked him later. And he said, see, we're in the same condemnation, and we justly. But he's done nothing amiss. Something changed. He discovered that he was a wretch in the sight of God. And you know, when he saw he was a wretch, you remember what he did? He turned to Jesus and said, remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's what salvation is all about. That's what you're going to need to do, is talk to the Lord. Of course, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's what it takes to get saved, is the Word of God. I've thought about that salvation many times. He didn't have a church house. Thankful for church houses. I think they reflect a lot of what we think about the Lord. He didn't have a choir. I loved your choir this morning. You may have caught me playing here. I've got hearing aids, and the first time I got those, I so looked forward to going to church, because I wanted to hear that singing. It sounds terrible. I have to turn them off in the music. He didn't have that. He didn't have y'all singing for him. He had the one thing you got to have. He had the Lord. We need these things. We can praise the Lord. The Lord smiles upon those as long as we have them in the appropriate place. But what we need, what we have to have, is God. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I pray that God would help you to come down. For today, Jesus had to do something. You need today Jesus. I must. It is absolute necessity that the Lord act and do something. I worked in education for a career. And I was in a position many times. I love my kids. And I'd say, you need to do this, you know. A lot of times I was in kind of some low socioeconomic areas sometime. And I'd say, you don't need to be doing some of the things you're doing. It won't end up good. You know, you don't need to be messing with that marijuana or whatever. You know, there's a lot of things that it's good for you to do. But there's one thing you must do. Today, I must abide at thy house. You must have Jesus. So it is a necessary call. Next, we'd like to note that it is an abiding call. God just doesn't want to make something happen today and that be it. You know, when we get saved, it is an event. And I like to hear people tell about their experience from nature to grace. But that's just a beginning. Amen. It's kind of like a couple expecting a child, and they anticipate this, and they go to the hospital, they have this baby, and especially for the mom, you know, a lot of things are passed, and they just don't say, "Whew, I'm glad that's over," and go off and leave the baby in the hospital. They take that baby home with them. When we get saved, that is just the beginning. We have truly been born again. And that's just the beginning, and we are to add to that. It's originally what I was going to talk about today, but I got this on my heart, and I've tried to preach a time or two something that I wasn't supposed to, and it doesn't work well at all. Make haste and come down, for today I, Jesus, wants to do. If you don't have a salvation that Jesus did, you don't have what you need. Today I must abide. He wants to abide with us. Now, we're wretched sinners. God can't dwell with sin. But there's something wonderful happens. We're told we must be born again. When we get saved, we're a new creature. Not this flesh, but down here. This old man dies and he perishes. And there's born a new one. We're a new creature, a new soul here. Now, this soul is quite different than the old one. This one is born in the likeness of God. It's holy. I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, they know I was a preacher, and they say, "Well, we're all working to get to the same place." And I kind of wince. That's not quite true. And they'll say, "I hope I'm good enough to make it." I have to say, you aren't. Nobody ever has been or ever will be. Tell a story sometimes. I was a principal in our main office across town, and I was going over there, and the secretary said, "While you're going by the office supply, get a ream of paper." That's what I was trying to think of, a ream of paper. Just white paper. So I went in and asked the guy for white paper, and he said, "What white do you want?" I said, "What do you mean, what white you want?" And he said, "Well, there's different whites." I didn't know there's different whites. He got a couple out, and one that looked white to me, and he got another one. That one wasn't white. You put them together, you tell them that they got a whole scale of whiteness. What are we going to be judged by? What's the standard? How are you going to be good enough to get to heaven? How are you going to determine that? God is holy. And we're going to be stood up right next to God. How are you going to measure up? Works of man are filthy rags in the sight of God. There's no way you can do that. But when we're born again, we're born in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and lived like you and I do as a man, but without sin. We know that because the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He was without sin. And when He saves us, not only does He take our sin that He died for and take it away, but He imputes to us His righteousness. So we've got a soul now that is different. The sinful soul, the wretched soul is gone, and there was a new one that is holy, just like God. Furthermore, it is sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit takes up an abode within our soul. If you've been saved, you've got God right down here. Now, sometimes we have things in our lives that men can't see that. I would that God would help us. That was the other thing I thought I might preach about this morning, that we might flow out. You know, God's children, a lot of times, we soak in the things of the world. I've had kids come to me, young people, and say, "How is it possible in this world that we live in for it to live a life that's acceptable to God.
You can't without the help of God.
If you have your heart full of God, it's possible, because it's going to flow out instead of the world coming in.
Generations ago now, when I was a young man,
the United States Army put out a specifications for a new fighting vehicle to carry infantrymen into battle.
Set up all kinds of specifications, had to have so much armor, had to keep this out and that out, and among the things was something new. Had to keep out radiological and biological agents.
Well, you can't build up a piece of equipment with gun ports and everything else and make it airtight. It just can't happen. So they solved it by putting filters. They had technology for that, to filter all that stuff out. But then they put a positive pressure inside the vehicle. So where there were leaks, the air went out instead of coming in. Brethren, we need a positive pressure down in the depths of our soul, so that there would be coming from us the things of God rather than we pulling in the things of the world. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. If you're lost, God wants to abide with you today. And he be with you forevermore. And Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. I'm thankful that God still goes in to be among sinners. That's what he came for, to be among sinners. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. A calling God. A God who gives a gracious call. A God who gives a personal call. A God who gives an abiding call. One that is a humbling call. God's calling you today. Answer him. You know, I'm not going to give an altar call, but I have enough confidence in this church. If you feel like you need to seek the Lord today, you come down here and seek the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. You don't have to be here. This is a good place. I don't know of a better place. I wasn't saved in the church house. I saved at home. But I've seen a lot of people saved in the church house. I've seen several saved on Sunday morning. So if you want to come seek the Lord, you feel free to do so. Some people will stay with you, and you can stay as long as you want. I don't know your heart. I'm not trying to get you to come. That's between you and the Lord. You see, I don't invite. It wasn't somebody else that invited. It was God that invited. Jesus. And whenever and wherever he calls you, go to that. One final point and I close. I don't know how to tell people to get saved. A lot of times you see people there, they're kind of discouraged, I guess. So I can't tell you how to get saved. That's between you and the Lord. But don't turn that burden away. You know, it's kind of our nature as people to shun pain. We're made that way. Don't run away from it. Go to it. Go to it. Because that's God. That's God trying to draw you, trying to teach you that you are. And that's what you have to follow. This has to be a salvation that is between an individual and God. Turn the service back over. Brother Babb.
Thank God for the good message and for the truth. You've heard the truth this morning, and I agree with Brother Skinner. I don't know your hearts, and I don't believe in dragging people to an altar, because I experienced the same thing that he talked about when he got saved. The Lord called me. If the Lord's dealing with you, it's a good time to seek the Lord, and we invite you to do that, but the Lord needs to deal with you. While we sing.
While standing and sing a church.